have that. We of course, if you want a printed copy, we'll make you a printed copy. If not, it will be on Facebook. And we're already on, you know, got a podcast on Apple. So the Lord has really blessed the use of our Facebook and other ways that you can hear the Word of God. Subject this morning, the basic understanding of Christ's return. I really do believe that everybody has a right to believe as they think. You don't have to agree with me on everything or ever preacher on everything. But I wouldn't get too hang up on all that stuff on Facebook about, you know, the mark of the beast and all that, because it just ain't accurate, you know. So we want to teach a basic understanding of Christ's return. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and earth standing out of the waters and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. If you believe that verse, which I do, an atomic bomb is not going to end this world. But that gives you some, you know, whatever, you know, you can certainly believe that, you have the right. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord hadn't been gone but a day or so. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeking then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in holy conversation, our way of life, and godliness. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in grace, without spot and blameless. Father, we ask the blessings upon this word, and we ask liberty, Father, that you can only give this week's servant to expound that which you have showed us. We thank you, Father, for each one that is out here this morning and those that may be even feeling bad, that you comfort them at least during this hour. We ask you, Father, to take charge of this service. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. What do you know about Jesus? Who is he? What is he? What has he done? What is he doing? What is he going to do? Have you trusted him as your only hope of eternal life? Are you sure that you have not believed in vain? If you claim to know Jesus, is he the Lord Jesus Christ, or is he another who can never help you? These questions need to be answered, answered honestly, and answered commonly. Regardless what happens to you in this life or what you do with Jesus, you're still going to one day stand before him in your resurrected body and personally give an account for your actions while you were in this life. This is why we need to know everything we can know about him and what he requires of us. Now, we're going to begin a verse-by-verse teaching of the book of Revelation. But I want to get a basic understanding of Christ's return. If you think that you're saved and I'm saved and I can't ever be lost, so I'm just waiting for the rapture, you're going to stand before God, every one of us, and we're going to see our life scrolled out before us. Now, if I live like that, I would live differently a lot of times than I do now. But, as we said, regardless of what happens to you in this life, whether you die and they put your body in the ground and you go to glory, or they put your body in the ground and you go to hell, you're going to stay there until he comes back. And you're going to be burning all the time that you're down there. Now, a lot of people have said, I would rather not hear about that. You will wish you had heard more about it and understood more about it and applied your life to what you know, regardless of what happens in this life. Every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow. Nobody really wants to know it tires me up when I see our American citizens taking the knee.
Amen.
Upsets me.
Yep.
Upsets me. The only knee that we ought to take is for the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we need to know is readily available to us here in the Bible. That's all we really need to know. So all we have to do is to open and begin studying it. God tells us in John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them, in what? In the scriptures. Ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify me. I have eternal life because I searched it out, and eternal life is in Jesus Christ. It's not in church membership. It's not in, I'll stop doing this, I'll stop doing that. You stop doing something because you love somebody. Not to get them to love you. I serve God because I love Him. Not try to get Him to love me.
Amen.
The first thing that we learn about Him is that He came to this earth to die for our sins so that we could go to heaven. And He completed His mission. David said in the book of Psalms, when his son died, He said, He's not coming back to me, but I can go where He is.
Amen.
I got two brothers I've never seen, but I'm going to see them.
Amen.
Because they're in glory, and I'm on my way. That's really all I need to know about the second coming, but the reason that you need to know the details is so that this false propaganda that will come out and come out and come out and come out will keep you so upset that you'll miss the joy that you could be having in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we learn about Him is that He came to this earth to die for our sins so that we could go to heaven. After He promised His mission, He arose from the grave and a few days later ascended back to heaven. He made salvation very simply, requiring that we only turn from our sins and trust Him.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, not only the Philippian jailer, but your whole house. No, it didn't mean when the Philippian jailer was saved, his whole house was saved. But if Christ died for the Philippian jailer, He would also die or did die if they are willing to believe on Him. He said, who are the elect? Those who believe.
Amen.
Who did He choose in Christ for the foundation of the world? Those who believe.
Amen.
I just finished a study with 53 points to prove that my salvation was already in the man of God before Jesus was even born. And then you want to tell me that a man can get saved against his will and, you know, it's left up to me. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I was dead in my sins, lost on the way to hell, and Christ called me up.
Amen.
Chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. Made plans for my life. And if I would follow those plans completely, I wouldn't have a lot of sorrow that I've had. And neither would any of you. Closer we get to the Lord, the closer we walk to the Lord, the more our blessings are.
Amen.
And believe me, there are some blessings that are a lot better than material blessings. If you can lay down at night and go to sleep without your past, do you know God forgave you? Accept it. Let it rest. get busy for the Lord. As you can see from our text, men scoff at the idea that Jesus Christ will personally return to earth. They say that God has never intervened in human history and that he never will. Peter said he would. What did he say? What did Peter say? In 2 Peter, we've seen in verse 9 of chapter 3. What did we see in verse 9? He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me give you a Bible study. He called me and read his verse to him, and he said, read it, Brother Tony. What does it say? Not willing that any should perish. Wasn't what that verse said. What did that verse say? The Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to who? The usward. Those that were chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. He's not willing. He will not lose one. Why can't you get excited about that old Sovereign Grace Baptist preacher? Instead, it's left up to some sinner that doesn't know where he is or where he's going or what he believes half the time. I'll tell you one thing. I believe that Christ started to work in me and I know he'll finish it. That excites you. It ought to excite you. Basic understanding of Christ's return. He's going to come back for me. You know why he's got to come back for me? This world is going to be dissolved. The Bible is very clear on Christ's second coming. Perhaps no other doctrine except salvation stands out as clear. Every book in the Bible speaks of or makes allusion to Christ's return. Every book. And then people look at me and say, I don't believe that. Have you read every book? Have you underlined those phrases? I have. No, in the book of Matthew, Matthew 16. Matthew, the 16th chapter and 27th verse. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man, what? According to his works. I don't worry about doing anything. I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. I can never be lost. Well, but Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Why? We love Ephesians 2, 8, 9, don't we? Oh, I know that. That's my favorite scripture. What does verse 10 say? For we are his workmanship, created unto good works. That's why I am not in glory right now, because God is not finished with me.
Amen. Amen.
One thing I hope, that when I look at you and say, this is my last service, that you're going to choose a man, you'll choose a man that believes the word of God as it is. Instead of, but I didn't love his wife. God didn't call his wife. But he's such an organizer. It's not my job to organize. My job is to preach. Preach. Preach! Mark 13. What did God say? Mark 13, verse 25. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in hell be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then I hear Baptist preachers, and they got the nerve to put me on that list and said, you better tell your congregation not to do this and not to do that because that's the mark. Stupid. 100% stupid. Jesus ain't going to use the world to do his coming. It's already planned. And that will take up the rapture. Amen. The rapture.
Yes. Amen.
Ah, the rapture.
Amen.
And what's going to happen down here on the earth? It's not going to be a picnic, church. God said, in Mark, the 13th chapter, and the 26th verse, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with his great power and glory. And then shall he send his angel and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the innermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the earth. When his time. We'll see when we get into Revelation. The signs are obvious. Is the Lord close? Yes, he is. But what is time to the Lord? What is time to the Lord? You know, we look at our watch, it's 11 o'clock, I better get in bed. We do everything about time. Got to hurry and get this done because I got a doctor's appointment here. I got a party over here. Time controls us. What is time to the Lord? Time doesn't control. I mean, what did I read when we read? What? One day is 1,000 years. That give us that he is not. He's coming back, and he's giving us signs all around. Now, we look at Luke. Luke 21. Verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts falling down for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall the sea, the Son of Man, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. There shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. Distress of nations, perplexity. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what anybody else believes, and I'm not going to argue with you. I don't want to argue with you. You got a right to believe what you want to. This virus came from China. And the number one doctor was right over there when it started.
Yes. Yep.
That's proven time and time again. John 14, verse 3 says, "And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there he may be also." Wherever glory is at, wherever heaven is at, that's where I'm going to be. Acts 1:11. Acts 1:11. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as he have seen him go into heaven." He left in a cloud, he's coming back in a cloud. They tried to kill him. They couldn't do it. He disappeared right among them. But when it was time, he surrendered so that the word of God would be fulfilled. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "So that he come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I appreciate every one of you from time to time. You'll write me or text me and ask me, "How's my wife?" She's waiting on the Lord. She's waiting to hear that sound. By herself. I am too. Amen. The older I get, the less this world attracts me.
Amen. Ooh, yes.
But I don't want to die so I don't have to face the problems. Because I know that he will take me through the problems. Remember the three was put in the fire? And they look down there. "Boy, hey, didn't you just put three in that fire? But there's four. You think God still can't do that?" First Thessalonians. He said, using a lot of scripture. You don't want what I believe about this. We want what the Word of God says about it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, how can anybody believe that they're going through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation? And if you do, I respect your right to be wrong. Because God has not appointed his children unto wrath. same book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Can you be any happier? Can you even think about being any happier than to be with Jesus? And you look up, here He is, my hope. I've won the lottery. He's the ultimate prize. He's coming back for me. I'm going to see that. I'm going to see that. Yes, sir. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. That's one time, right before He changes this body into that perfect body. I'm going to get a glimpse of Him. Then it's changed. No more sin, no more sickness, no more disappointment, and I know my work is finished. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. If Jesus was to come today, my two brothers that I have never seen would see Christ before me. My mom would see Christ before me. Any of our loved ones. You said, how do you believe that? I don't have to believe. I just got to believe what God said. God said it very clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That old body. That old body's not going to come out of that grave. That new resurrected body. I mean, this body would feel so out of place. I wouldn't feel right in heaven in this body. Now, I don't know about those who believe they live above sin. That's between them and the Lord. But I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But when I see Him face to face, I'll have a body like unto His. So what's it going to be like? I don't care. Don't care, you know. Just like Caitlin. She'll come over to the house and Dora will invite her for supper. And she has never asked, what are we having? So I did this for fun. I said, you don't even know what we're having. She said, did Nanny fix it? That's all she needed to know. Is Christ coming in His flesh? Am I going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye? That's all I need to know.
Amen.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit in me cannot sin. The soul cannot sin. It's only this old body. But he's got that new body waiting for me. And in a twinkling of an eye, body, soul, and spirit will be with the Lord. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. When ye shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Think about that. Let's read that again. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. See, the greatest witness you can witness is for somebody to see Christ in you. You know, I hope every brother and sister that I have is in glory. I only know two, that's those that died at a baby. But, you know, some of Lewis's wife's family questioned me a lot. And I said, you know, even after God saved him, you can't be that stupid that you wouldn't believe there was a change. We all know. He'd come to church, leave there, turn right, come back in the parking lot, come on. I said, well, where are you going, Lewis? He said, I made the wrong turn. He had no business driving. He had no business coming up to church. He said, well, who protected him? The same person that protected me Wednesday night.
Amen.
Can you hear me preach? Amen. He is the great protector. God said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, notice here. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. I've had people, I tell them, you know, we're going to start teaching the book of Revelation verse by verse. Oh, no, no, no. That scares me to death. You live in a little small frame house, don't you? You say, yeah, God's been good to me. I say, yes, he has. But what if somebody going to build you a mansion? And when you die, you're going to move into that mansion. Why would you be afraid of that? Wasn't that what he said in John? In my Father's house are many mansions. Stop. But I go to prepare you. Now, in my mind, I know who he's talking about. Yes, sir. He's talking about his bride.
Amen.
can't love Jesus like I love Jesus and not want to be in the bride. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, the lost world doesn't mind at all that you say that you go to church. But it's sort of like when God called me to preach, and a person that I know said, "That's good, but don't you let it go to your head." Oh, I didn't. It entered my heart. When you're saved, it may go through your head, but it enters your heart. And I'm not talking about that pumping blood. I'm talking about your heart of affection. He becomes your all in all. With careful study of the Scriptures, it's easy to see the order of his return. And that's all we're going to do. But the next part, I mean, I tell you, if I wasn't the one that was going to teach it, I'd want to be here. Because we're going to deal with the rapture of the church, the tribulation period, the judgment seat of Christ, the return of Christ to the earth, the battle of Armageddon, the binding of Satan, the judgment of the living nations, the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, release of the Satan after the thousand-year reign, great white throne judgment. Long live the Messiah come.